HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Vicki Barker. The pundits pre-positioning for tonight's pivotal presidential debate. Here's CBS's Linda Kenyon.
Body language expert Mark Bowden says it's all about the body language.
The words don't matter that much. The sound that somebody makes matters more, and what we see them do matters most.
For example,
if they're more asymmetrical, then it's more difficult to understand what they're saying, or we perceive it's more difficult, and we'll see them as less followable.
This is the first of two scheduled debates. The second debate will be in September.
I'm Matt Piper. Both sides signed off on new rules, many of them insisted on by Biden's team and agreed to by the Trump campaign, are designed to minimize the potential of a chaotic rerun of debates in 2020. Each candidate's microphone will be muted, except when it's his turn to speak. There will also be no studio audience to chime in with hoots, hollers, and jeers. There will be two commercials, but they cannot meet with their teams during those breaks.
The debate begins at 9 East Coast time tonight. Weather watch now.
In the Midwest, we are seeing more rain over the next couple of days, including in Iowa, where they certainly do not need it. A lot of rivers have crested and are starting to go down, but further downstream now, the rivers are rising after the historic flooding.
CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson says the heat wave's breaking in the Northeast, but heat advisories remain in effect for large swaths of Texas. The Supreme Court's in session today with an overflowing in-tray. Here's Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson.
The Supreme Court is scheduled to decide about homelessness. We also expect some decisions regarding the breadth of agency power and what the EPA and other agencies can do.
Worldwide, the number of threatened species continues to grow. CBS's Cammie McCormick has that.
The latest red list of threatened species sounds the alarm. It now includes more than 160,000 animal and plant species. 6,000 more were added to the list in just the last year. Everything from cacti in Chile to giant lizards in the Canary Islands. This report claims more than 80% of species are now at risk of extinction.
To Vermont now, where that state has agreed to pay $175,000 to settle a lawsuit with a driver who was charged with a crime after giving a state trooper the middle finger back in 2018. The ACLU filed the lawsuit, arguing Gregory Bombard's First Amendment right to free expression had been violated. Bombard was arrested on a charge of disorderly conduct, spent an hour in a cell, and had his car towed. He'll split the settlement with the ACLU, which says he's pleased but angry the incident ever took place at all. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A youth counselor at the Lincoln Hills Youth Prison in northern Wisconsin is dead. Corey Pruhl was one of two employees allegedly attacked by a 16-year-old inmate Monday night. Problems at Lincoln Hills go back several years. A new youth prison in Milwaukee is in the works. The latest Marquette University Law School poll is out with how Wisconsin is leaning in the race for president.
You'll be shocked to know it's a close race. We have the presidential race at 50-50 this time with registered voters.
Poll director Charles Franklin says President Biden has a two-point lead over Donald Trump with likely voters. Franklin says Republicans are more enthusiastic about voting for Trump than Democrats are for Biden. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks add another guard. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. First round of the NBA draft last night, and with the 23rd pick, the Bucks selected A.J. Johnson, a 6'5" guard out of California who's just 19 years old. I asked Bucks GM John Horst if this is just another prospect to add to the roster.
When you get in that part of the draft, the assessment we had to make is here's a handful of guys that are win now. Here's a handful of guys that maybe have a higher development curve or a longer runway. I think he's a combination of both.
Baseball, the Brewers' Andrew Monasterio comes through with an RBI single to win the game 6-5 over the Rangers yesterday. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Of course, we're happy for the team, but so happy for Mona. He's working every day. He's always got a smile. He's in a great, has a great attitude every day. So the team pulls for him.
Former Packers receiver Randall Cobb and his family narrowly escaping their Nashville home at night after a fire started in their garage, believed to be ignited by an electric charger to their Tesla. Cobb saying they're lucky to be alive. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get into the mid, maybe upper 70s here by later this afternoon with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. 61 tonight, tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms with highs in the low to mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we get you ready for the presidential debate. Biden v. Trump. Everything you want to know right here. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2. This is 93.5 The Tap.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
And welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Thursday morning, June 27th. Nice to have you along here. Coming up in this hour, we're going to have our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good. And we're going to be talking to Nasra Wahilieh, who is running for a seat in the Wisconsin legislature. Tomorrow on the program, we are going to be talking to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. As we often do on Fridays, there were some Supreme Court decisions to talk about, and we'll get a little recap of tonight's debate as well. That debate will also air on many Civic Media radio stations. They will cover the debate starting at 7:30 this evening. Terry Bell and Todd Albaugh will begin coverage, and the debate itself starts promptly at 8 o'clock. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins us now to talk a bit about the weather, and also, I have a pop quiz for the meteorologist here. Here we go.
Ooh.
Ooh, she rolled her eyes. I don't know.
Got to get me thinking this early in the morning. All right.
I just saw the story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, a meteo tsunami, or a meteo tsunami. If you're familiar with that at all, apparently one happened in Lake Michigan earlier this week.
Oh, no, I am not familiar with that. Okay,
it's
all right.
A series of waves directly across from Racine that actually raised lake levels by about 2 feet. And in this case, you know, a tsunami is caused by, you know, the ground underneath a body of water falling and displacing a bunch of water and causing waves. These were, this instead is the air disrupted the water level because of that series of strong thunderstorms that moved through a couple of days ago. It was so strong that as it moved across, it actually pushed the body of water and crashed waves into the western side of Michigan.
Okay, I can see that. I mean, I do forecast the waves on Lake Michigan, but I didn't know it had that specific name. But you can just see it, the fetch, the winds just blowing those big waves, and you watch them move across different areas. It is pretty interesting, but you said 2 feet?
Yeah.
Difference? Wow.
2 feet. There was a video that the Weather Channel picked up from the city of Holland, Michigan. And I mean, when you talk about storm surge for a hurricane, for example, and again, you think about that pressure that the air makes on an ocean, for goodness sakes. But having lived for a time on an island that technically for a couple of hours was completely underwater because of, you know, Hurricane Ivan back in 2004, you learn to respect storm surges and things like that. Not that we're going to see that on Lake Michigan, but it's an interesting phenomenon just the same. So I just wanted to ask if that was the kind of thing. So you do work on wave levels on Lake Michigan. Very cool.
I sure do.
Lake Wissota, maybe not so much.
I wonder what those cap out at, 3-4 feet probably.
No. And if they do, then usually it's caused because there are too many boats on the water. Get out of my way, said the grumpy old man to all the tourists. shaking my fist.
Get
out
off
there.
My lake.
It is a gorgeous morning up here on Lake Wissota. Tell us what we're looking at as we start to head into these final days of June.
Just another beautiful day here today. Temperatures right there in those mid-70s. Now, there are going to be some cooler temperatures by Lake Michigan off to the east. You're going to be in the upper 60s today. So a little crisp over there, calmer winds. Beautiful sunny skies. A high pressure system is dominating our day today. So no rain in the forecast, not until later tonight. After about 10 p.m., western areas will start to see some light drizzles, spotty showers start to push in. Overnight, it'll spread east throughout the entire state. So by tomorrow morning, we'll be waking up to some light scattered showers out there, maybe some rumbles of thunder, but nothing severe is expected. And then tomorrow afternoon, we'll get a little break. We're going to stay cooler still in those low to mid 70s. Then we'll see some more showers and storms tomorrow night before all of this clears on out of here for Saturday afternoon. It's going to be beautiful all weekend long. I'll tell you, Saturday is going to hit 80 degrees. It's going to be a little warmer and muggy. Then Sunday, cooler, 70s, sunny, great.
Oh my goodness. That,
yes.
I'm so looking forward to that. I didn't hear 90s in there anyplace.
Nope, nowhere in there.
Or triple-digit heat indices or anything like that.
Humidity. Yeah.
No, that's great. All right. Well, Brittany Merlot, thank you so much for all of that. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Have a great day. Let's talk briefly here about the Marquette poll. And actually, before I do that, let me apologize for how we wrapped up the last hour. And, you know, Greg was nice enough to say earlier in the hour that when something had gone wrong in the studio, it was 100% his fault. This last one was 100% my fault because we are commercial.
It's 100% Greg's fault.
It's Greg's fault that I can't do math. No, we have hard breaks that hit, and anybody that's a regular listener knows that we hit it at 19 past the hour. We hit at 29:20 past the hour. We hit at 49:20 past the hour, and we hit at 58:50. Past the hour, and for some reason I had 49:20 on the brain. So I was in the middle of telling the story about how it's National Bomb Pop Day.
Mm-hmm.
And that as a kid, and I think this is where things cut out, as a kid, I thought that they were invented for the bicentennial because it was, 1976, and they're red, white, and blue and everything. Come to find out in working up today's history notes, they actually were invented in 1951. And they were first nationally trademarked in, 1971? They were invented in 1955 and trademarked in 1971. Yeah. So they'd been around for a while already. But still, those things are delicious. I mean, I guess they come in all different flavors now, but whatever the original was, it was cherry, watermelon, and that blue raspberry. I haven't had one since I was about 12 years old because they're so messy. But they were good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what that flavor is. That tastes like freedom to me.
It was one of those things where if you had the spare change when the ice cream truck came through the neighborhood, and instead of, say, 35 cents for an ice cream bar, you had 75 cents for a bomb pop, whoo!
Yeah.
Man, you were in Fat City there.
And if you live
City, like Eric Hovde wants to raise your health insurance rates if you're getting bomb pops because you're making lifestyle choices.
The property values in Fat City are amazing. I think those thing was, I loved bomb pops as a kid because they were also just, they were gigantic. So you felt like you were getting more bang for your buck. And then one day you just were like, this is messy. And you're holding it like I don't want to finish. It's too much.
You're just slurping and slurping to try to catch up with it all. But this is National Bomb Pop Day. So whatever type you get, get them and then send us a photo of you trying to eat it neatly because I would argue that it can't be done. There is a new Marquette Law School poll out. It snuck up on me yesterday. I was not expecting it.
Yeah.
In part because, again, we're in a 50-50 state. And that's the top number out of this, is that of 871 registered voters, Trump at 50%, Biden at 50%. Now, that's if they tell the 12% who initially said they're undecided and then said to that 12%, well, no, you got to pick somebody. Mm-mm. And if it's just between these two, who are you going to pick? So if you put those conditions in place, 50-50. Hello, welcome to Wisconsin. If you include the third-party candidates, then a full 16% of voters would pick one of several different independent candidate options. But Trump and Biden were still basically tied within the margin of error. And so, again, the whole top line on this, or actually, no, the whole bottom line on this is your vote counts.
Yes.
You, no matter who you are, no matter who you're supporting, the absolute wrong decision is to stay home on November 5th, because these elections are going to be close and your vote's going to make a difference.
Agreed. Agreed. And you can go to myvote.wi.gov for more information on voting.
Yes, myvote.wi.gov. Yeah. Let's see. On the Senate race, it does show that Tammy Baldwin leads Eric Hovde by 5 points. Now, the margin of error in this thing is 4.5 to 5 points. So Tammy Baldwin does have a lead statistically. But again, it is razor thin. And you know, trust me, nobody on Team Baldwin is taking anything for granted. And nobody supporting Eric Hovde is saying that all is lost. Unless he goes to Laguna Beach again for the weekend. Then they're going to have reason to think otherwise. Some of the other headlines that came out of it. Let's see. Do I have the right one here? Here's a national survey of registered voters. 54% think that Trump was guilty of charges in his New York criminal trial. 30% believe he was not guilty and that the jury made the wrong ruling. And 16% say they don't know. I'd rather like to think it's that they don't care, but that they just don't know. It's interesting that 2/3 of those polled think that the prosecution of Donald Trump is going to lead to Republican prosecutors charging Democratic politicians. And that's a little distressing that many people, both Republicans and Democrats, have a level of cynicism that thinks charging Trump means that, you know, more prosecutors are going to be looking to prosecute Democratic politicians. Accuse me of being naive, but I don't know that's necessarily going to be the impact of this, that Trump was very much, the case about him was very much brought because of evidence and was tried and was judged by a jury because of evidence. And so, and frankly, the same goes for Hunter Biden. There was evidence there. But if we've already seen Congress try to like willy-nilly try to impeach Joe Biden. I mean, again, talk about stepping on a rake. That whole House Oversight Committee is full of rakes that they all can't help stepping on, like Joe Biden and the Biden crime family. It's like, and then they're always asked, well, what's the crime? Oh, you'll see.
Yeah.
Still waiting.
Well,
still waiting.
I can see the point from that. You actually using that same example. It's like, as soon as they got some power in the House, they started impeaching Joe Biden, getting rid of Mayorkas, give us the head of Hunter Biden, and anyone they didn't like, they put in front of them and then it always fell apart. But it's a reactionary thing that, you know, I think the House's behavior can somewhat inform why people might think that Republican lawyers might go after Democratic whomevers now.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, there is a level of cynicism and a level of acceptance of bad behavior that now, to me, one of the big questions, and I've seen other people debate this as well, is are we in this point now, have we crossed some kind of a line, or whenever Trumpism leaves the stage or Trump leaves the stage, do we collectively all get a little better behaved? I don't know the answer to it, but I'm really hopeful for one of the answers, put it that way. We'll unpack more of the news, and then we'll have our Women Win Wisconsin segment coming up at the bottom of the hour here on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap. Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Back on Up North News Radio, we were saying on this day in history in 1970, Queen was going by a different name, Smile, and somebody suggested changing the name of the group to Queen, and it worked out all right for them after that. On this Thursday, June 27th, 2024, so many numbers in front of me, a reminder that you can sign up for our daily newsletter, head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click on newsletter in the top banner, and you can see stories like the one about it being National Food Truck Day coming up this Friday, coming up tomorrow, I guess it would be. And I don't want to get Christina Laurie upset with me, but I clicked on one of the links in the newsletter, and you know, there's so many websites out there and people claiming that they'll do this or that. And one of them claims that it will help you find food trucks that are near you. So I thought, okay, it says put in your state or put in your zip code. So being up here in Chippewa Falls, I thought, well, 54729 might be a little too iffy. I'll go with Eau Claire. So I put 54701 in there. How many food trucks are going to be, you know, in Eau Claire sometime soon here? And it turns out 9,699 food trucks are coming to Eau Claire based on the results. Now, they'd have to come here from places like Austin, Texas, and East Lansing, Michigan, Jacksonville, Florida. So I think this website might be a little bit off.
What was that? What was it again?
9,699 results when I say find a food truck near Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
That sounds less like a food truck park and more like an invasion on Wisconsin.
All these food trucks coming.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they know we like our food up here. So, yeah, away they come. So that link notwithstanding, may I suggest heading over to the newsletter and just learning more about food trucks in the area, which, you know, once upon a time were practically non-existent. And the first couple of ones were like, you know, unique. And somehow it got to be a viable business model. In fact, one of my favorite coffee shops here in Chippewa Falls is going out of business as a brick and mortar place, and they're simply moving the business to a food truck where they make absolutely the best salad in town, and they have sandwiches and other things, but mostly coffee, and it's a food truck thing. So I talked in the last segment about ice cream trucks. It turns out there's a lot more that you can do with that. I know that in Eau Claire, I think it's first Fridays of the month downtown. There's a place where all these food trucks gather near the farmer's market. I know the Liney Lodge up here in Chippewa Falls, I think once a week in the summer has food trucks. Do you have a favorite place where they gaggle? Would it be a gaggle of food trucks? Would it be a feast of food trucks?
It would be a honk honk of food trucks.
A honk honk of food trucks. That makes total sense. Yeah,
right by the club on 5th Street in Milwaukee, which is Walker's Point, historic Walker's Point.
Historic, yes.
One block west of us, we have a place called Zocalo, and Zocalo is a food truck park. So you got, my gosh, I mean, I think the last time I went there was Meat and Company, Meat and Co. are called. There's a pizza place, a taco place, burgers, sushi. They serve sushi burritos there too. Delicious. Scratch ice cream.
Sushi burrito.
Yeah, it's basically just the it's basically just imagine like a roll only rolled up in a giant thing of seaweed. So it's it's such a
just reminds me of, now you're hitting on the old SNL skit, like, you know, it's a taco wrapped in another taco, wrapped in a pancake, wrapped in a pizza.
Cold and blowing you. But yeah, I mean, it is a great place. They got a lot to choose from, and it's got a great website you can go to where you can order from all of them at the same time. So yeah, I mean, like, it is literally, and that's the food truck park. There's probably at least five more within walking distance that are just on the street, just food trucks.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's nice to have that kind of an option, especially since, and I almost don't want to bring this up because I don't want to depress people, but the Guardian newspaper has a story about the diabolical rise of Dine and Dash.
What?
And so we were talking a bit about what kind of a world we live in now where, you know, again, you can have a convicted felon run for president. Cheating is fine. You know, all these other things are fine. And apparently more people are feeling empowered to steal, basically. And eat a meal and then leave without paying the bill. And I think the food truck model, suddenly it's like, no, you don't get your food till you pay. You know, I used to not like that at restaurants where it's like, well, you go to the counter and you order and we bring it to you. But I think you're going to be seeing more of that if we continue to see the dine and dash. But the article also goes on to talk about how restaurants are now doing the naming and shaming thing. They've got cameras everywhere these days. Yeah. And so now they'll put out cameras of people who are walking out without paying and saying, have you seen this person?
Good.
Yeah.
I agree. That's just so, what, I don't know. I don't understand, like, oh, we're going to dine and dash. You're taking money. And honestly, that happened in New Orleans. When Bridget and I went to New Orleans, we went to this little restaurant. We were watching a jazz band, and someone dined and dashed. And as we were leaving, I heard this waiter say, they didn't pay. And he got in trouble, and it was going to get taken out of his money. So there are consequences.
Yes, there absolutely is. And we just, again, I want to believe that we are better than this and can be better than this, and that the handful of people who have felt empowered in recent years to be jerks will again be made to feel shame for being jerks. Make being a jerk shameful again. Fit that on a hat. I'm going to workshop that one.
Yeah, we're not putting that on a hat.
The Milwaukee Brewers were winners yesterday of the Texas Rangers, swept the world champs in a three-game series, 6-5 yesterday in 10 innings. Andrew Monasterio got the single to left center in the bottom of the 10th to score the winning run. Trevor Bowers hit a grand slam in the third inning. Jackson Churio hit an inside-the-park home run after the Texas center fielder really misjudged a fly ball that fell right in front of him, slipped past him, went all the way to the wall. 36-year-old Dallas Keuchel was signed by the Brewers yesterday and became the starting pitcher less than 2 hours later. Not a stellar outing, his first big league outing since last season. He gave up all five Texas runs in four innings of work, but then five Brewers relievers combined to give up only two hits after that, and the offense eventually would catch up and win the game. So we are now 81 games in the books, halfway through the season, and the Brewers are on top of the National League Central Division, 15 games above 500, a six-game lead ahead of the Cincinnati Reds. They are 20-5 in their last 25 home games. So the Brewers have the day off before the Chicago Cubs come to town. Three games at American Family Field. Those games are at tomorrow evening at 7:10, Saturday afternoon at 3:10, and Sunday afternoon at 1:10. And in all cases, you can catch those games on some Civic Media radio network stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, and Park Falls, to get all the action about 45 minutes or so before the first pitch.
We'll take a pause here, and when we come back, we're going to have our Women Win Wisconsin segment powered by our friends at Motherhood for Good. We're going to have a candidate in here who hopes to be the first Muslim woman elected to the Wisconsin legislature. To do that, she'd have to unseat an incumbent Democrat in the primary election coming up this August. So we'll have that and more still ahead. Luke Mathers joining the show as well, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're up north.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Lately, the weather is what everyone's focused in on, including Wisconsin farmers. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Thursday. But what's coming our way in July? Good question, and one that we asked of Bridget Mason. She's an assistant state climatologist and explains what she sees weather-wise coming our way next month.
So it looks like to end out June, begin July, we're expecting to continue seeing an active weather pattern. You know, over the next 7 days or so, you may see upwards of 2 inches if you're in the south central or southeastern parts of Wisconsin. But it looks like most everyone will see at least a half inch over the next 7 days. Looking into July over the next 2 weeks or so, it looks like we're leaning toward warmer than normal conditions and possibly wetter than normal. We do have a slight risk for excessive rainfall amounts in place for all of Wisconsin between July 2nd and 8th.
Not the news a lot of Wisconsin farmers want to hear. That's Bridget Mason. She is the assistant state climatologist. She said the weather patterns in Wisconsin have been odd, even by weather standards. Preliminary results from the National Weather Service show the state has seen 10 tornadoes just in the last week.
Introducing Certain Herbicide, the latest corn innovation from BASF. It brings powerful PPO residual chemistry into a pre-through early post application thanks to novel solid encapsulation technology. Apply from pre-plant to V3 and get up to 8 weeks of residual control or suppression of 79 broadleaf and grass weed species. Don't chase weeds all through the season. Attack them before they emerge with Certain Herbicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Water hemp, Palmer amaranth, and giant ragweed. Left undisturbed, they will become the most dangerous foes to corn plants. But in the early season, these weeds are at their weakest. Now is the time. A predator lurks. Certain herbicide attacks, unleashing full residual power before weeds have a chance to emerge. Pre or early post application, they are hopeless against such effective chemistry. Certain herbicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Well, the 4th of July weather forecast from Bridget Mason may not be ideal. The good news is you'll spend a little less this year for your 4th of July picnic. The Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation's latest market basket survey shows the cost of 12 food items for your summer cookout, hosting 10, comes in at about $66.38. That's down about a half a percentage point compared to last year. If you break it down by per plate cost, that means you're feeding everyone for an average of less than $7 per person. That's a quick update on what's happening literally in food news on a Thursday. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get into the mid, maybe upper 70s here by later this afternoon with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. 61 tonight, tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms with highs in the low to mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Together, in a debate of the issues important to you, your first opportunity to hear from President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump is Thursday, June 27th.
Listen live on your local Civic Media radio station. Starting at 7:30 p.m., News Director Terry Bell, along with Todd Albaugh, host of The Todd Albaugh Show, will share insight on what's at stake.
The CNN Presidential Debate, live Thursday, June 27th. Coverage at 7:30, the debate at 8, on your local Civic Media radio station.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in for the Debate Day edition of The Devil's Advocates. We'll have Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chairman Ben Winkler and party at the Barrymore Theater. See you there.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back to Up North News Radio for this Thursday morning, June 27th, 2024. And now we welcome in our folks on social media, on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, because of a technical snafu caused by yours truly. We were not live on the social media sites until now. So we're getting that correct information to our guests who will be joining us in a bit. That includes our Women Win Wisconsin segment with special guest who's looking to be one of the first, who would be the first Muslim woman elected to the Wisconsin legislature, Nasra Wahilieh. And she will be joined by Kate Duffy and by Emily Tyne of Motherhood for Good. And the two of them are with us here now. Kate and Emily, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for rolling with the punches here as we get set. And hopefully Nasra will see our corrected link and be able to join us shortly as well. Emily, we haven't seen you for quite some time. What? How is your summer going? What have you been up to?
We've been moving. So
I was going to say, it looks the walls are rather bare behind you.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. So. My husband and I were problem solving this morning of where I could do this from that doesn't have like a pile of boxes behind me. But
so moving in, or are we in the new place or the old place?
We are in an interim place. We're in a rental and we're building a house. But we're actually have moved to Nasra's district. So I'm in a new assembly district. So I'm really excited today to meet one of the candidates and get acclimated to my new home.
All right. Sounds good. And I may have to give Nasra a call here just to let her know that we're here. But Kate, for that, that means I'm going to throw things to you for a moment to tell us what all you're working on for Motherhood for Good, what kind of activities people have been working on, or what things might be coming up.
Yeah. Okay. So we have a lot of fun stuff going on. We've been focusing a lot on covering everything that's going on a lot at a national level as it pertains to a lot of women's rights issues, all the Supreme Court updates coming out. And we're really going to start to dig into the more local stuff in Wisconsin here coming up. So we've had a couple of team meetings. We're getting organized behind the scenes. And we are going to start reaching out to people, sending out an email, and getting people onto different lists for how they want to become engaged and help out with our efforts over the summer and kind of going into the fall before election season. So keep an eye out for that. We're definitely looking for people to help out at all different levels, whether it's just kind of like a little bit with little things or more in like regional leadership roles, or people we can kind of call on when we need certain things, from whether it's like surrogates for different campaigns or articles or things like that. So there's going to be a ton going on with engaging people around the state for that kind of stuff. We're also going to be working on information about the new maps, working hard for these assembly districts, which a lot of them we're talking to on the show. And we're also going to be tabling at the upcoming Pod Save America live show in Madison. So
wait, when is that happening?
Emily's got the info on that.
Emily, when are the Pod Save America show?
They are going to be here Friday, July 19th at the Orpheum Theater in Madison. That's a live show of Pod Save America. And then the following night, Saturday, July 20th, Love It or Leave It, John Lovett's show will be live, I think, at the Barrymore.
Okay.
So we'll be at both of those shows. So
wow.
And tell all your friends. Yeah,
it's been a busy week with Senator Elizabeth Warren here this week, and Senator Bernie Sanders coming as well. This is surrogate land these days.
Yeah, Big Gretch was here. I mean,
yes, yeah, Gretchen Whitmer was here not long ago, and all to bring attention not just to the presidential race, not just to the U.S. Senate race, but also to these legislative races with new maps throughout the state, including one that we're going to talk about in Dane County right now with Nasra Wahilyeh, who's joining us, candidate for Wisconsin legislature as well. Nasra, thank you for finding us. Apologies for the inconvenience switching the link for you to be here, but we're glad you found it and glad to have you here this morning.
Thank you, Pat, and thank Kate and everyone for having me. It's a great honor and opportunity to be here today.
Yeah, now you're, it's the 80th district, if I'm...
Yes, it's the 80th district, yes. So with the new fair map, there has been change in old map. And basically used to be more of New Glarus, New Mount Vernon, Mount Harrop, and so on. And excuse me, Verona. But now it consists of more of towards Madison. There are four aldermanic districts in District 80 and Cross Plains, town of Middleton, and all of Verona. So very excited to see this is a great opportunity for me and also for Madison to be in the 80th district.
So Nasra, you are, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're currently an alder on the Madison City Council, right? And you have some pretty extensive experience being a leader in the community over the past couple of decades. So besides new maps, like, what are you excited about to put your hat in the ring for assembly right now? Why does this move make sense for you right now? And what are you hoping to do for the people in the 80th district?
Thank you, Kate, for that question. So I'm a community grassroots. I've been in Madison for over three decades. I've been involved in various organizations. I am a stronger candidate and bring proven commitment to our communities for more than, like I said, three decades. So I have a clear vision and also proximity with the issues, whether it's, you know, housing, whether it's women's initiatives and women's rights, whether it's homelessness, whether it's all walks of life. I've been in Madison and served in more than 12 nonprofit organizations. So I understand the nuances of what it's really mean to be a servant leader. As the Common Council, we have seen some policies that are affecting our community. And, you know, the way I look at it is like, you know, the four P's. Three P's, which is like your purpose. Why are we here in the first place? And then the people, and then also the privilege. So when I look into the organization or to the community for what it is, you know, to be a servant leader, whether in the political spectrum or the businesses, you have to understand what's your why as a leader. We have to understand what is it's privilege to be in that space. And with privilege comes with responsibilities. That's number one P. The second piece is the people. So without knowing the nuances or the problem or the, you know, the people, we have to listen to them. Listen to them, collaborate with them, and also partner with them and seeing what are the key issues that really make them awake at night and listening to it and making a profound impact. And the third one is the problem, you know, how you can be able to listen to those problems and making a profound and compelling solution to the problem. So again, I'm more of a grassroots person. I'm not a politician, I have to say. When I was appointed 2020, I never intended to run, but I end up running twice unopposed. So it's very privileged to be in this space and to serve some of those issues. So one of the primary issues that I'm really, or platform I'm running on is the women issues. So women initiatives. So I will advocate for policies enhancing women's reproductive rights, achieving equal pay, and improving women's healthcare and childcare. Second, as we all know, Madison has a lot of housing, you know, a crisis. So affordable and attainable housing. And finally, education. Education, you know, looking into the people. And as I do, you know, doors, I'm hearing from various, you know, constituents saying that, you know, education is the most important things. Public schools should be fully funded. And, you know, having the teachers and the students to have all those resources that they need to have really successful education is really critical and important. So those are the kind of issues that I'm hoping to bring in. But, you know, with the proximity, understanding, and clear vision in solving our community better place.
That's great to hear. And Nazar, I'm really excited. I just moved to the 80th district. So I moved from Madison a little bit further west. So I'm excited to be in your district. And I think a lot of what you just shared aligns with a lot of what we're focused on with Motherhood for Good, particularly this week with the anniversary of the Dobbs decision and so many stories being shared. So can you talk a little bit more about kind of what you're hoping to achieve in that space and kind of why you think folks should turn out to vote for you if that's something that's getting them to the polls in August and then in November?
Yeah, thank you so much. I think, you know, the main thing so far that I have been having the experience is this fair map. And all along, we have been fighting for fair map. And when we say we are protecting our democracy, we should really mean it. You know, what we say and what we do should really align. And when we say we are here, especially as a Democrat, when we are protecting our democracy, that should mean that we should give the people the choice to who they vote for and who they select to represent them. Whether it's, you know, it's really important for our democratic process to give the opportunities. 80th district belongs to the people, not to the party. And as I put my name in this race, I was told that I shouldn't run. I was told I should wait for my turn, and I should, you know, I wasn't provided the resources that I need to run for this particular office. And as you can relate, as an immigrant, you know, we really, really take seriously about the democratic process because of our expectation when we come here because of the government that we have been had in overseas. So when we see that, you know, there's no really transparency in how the political process is done, it's really heartbreaking. So those are the kind of things that I really want people to know, that they have to be educated about the political process. They have to be able to learn about who's on the ballot and who will represent them.
And we should note as well that in the 80th Assembly District that you would be running in the Democratic primary in August. You'd be running against the incumbent Democratic legislator, Mike Baer, for the district. But as has been noted, that district has changed with the new maps. It doesn't just affect, you know, the districts that were overwhelmingly, you know, Republican for much of the past decade, but around Dane County, around Madison, the lines have shifted to put either more or less of the city of Madison in there. And so, as a member of the Madison Common Council, you've looked at that 80th district, and despite there being a Democratic incumbent, Mike Baer, there now, have seen and identified that that's the district that you want to run in this year.
Yes. And like you just said, you know, when I said earlier, the 80th district has almost more than 50% of Madison residents, and Madison residents deserve to be represented. And particularly, I will advocate for legislation that allow municipalities to implement revised formula for shared revenue that addresses disparities in providing equitable funding to the cities like Madison that have unique needs and responsibilities. Again, you know, we always see misrepresentation and underrepresentation and all that. So that's one of the reasons why I have all my colleagues at the council, the mayor of Madison, supporting me, because they see the importance of Madison representation. However, I will be still representing all District 80 residents. And my passion is, like I said, the three P's, the people and the privilege I have, but also the problem that I really want to solve for our residents in District 80.
For folks that want to learn more about Nasra Wahilye, the way to do that is to either, in all cases, whether it's the website or Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter X, just keep Nasra for WI in mind. So that's N-A-S-R-A, Nasra, for F-O-R. WI. So Nasra4WI.com. Nasra4WI is her handle on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Nasra, thank you very much for letting us get to meet you today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity and the great work you're doing for the community as well.
Thank you. Kate, Emily, good to chat with you guys as well. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pat.
When we come back, we're going to have to figure out what to talk about with Luke Mathers. Top Chef Wisconsin isn't on anymore. I think he's got some things to say about other civic media shows as well. So that's next. You're up north.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. A lot of financial chatter is focused on the stock market. Is it up? Is it down? Is it a bull market? Is it a bear market? The Dow just hit a record high. But how much should people like me and you really care about these daily updates? The answer? Not very much. Most of those daily highs and lows come from small-scale events that just don't mean that much to the broader U.S. economy. And the stock market is not the economy. For most of us, long-term growth is what really matters for retirement. Now, if you are one of the richest 10% of Americans who own 93% of all the stock, you can ignore this message. But for the rest of us, we're going to get more done by keeping an eye on our spending and savings than we are by paying attention to Wall Street. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, take good care.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Oh, that sounds like Max Inc. Radio, which tells me there's things we can talk about besides Top Chef Wisconsin. Luke Mathers is here, which also tells me that Dan Jacobs didn't hire him away or anything like that. So, Mr. Mathers, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mr. Krylo. How are you?
You know, I've had smoother days, but you know, we roll with the punches here.
I was ready to roll with the punches with you.
You were right there. Thank you very much for that. So for folks that maybe aren't familiar with the usual routine here, Luke wears a lot of hats. All of them have large brims, but he wears many hats here. He's got his civic media hat on today because after 14 weeks of talking about, and we're only going to say this one more time for Greg's benefit, the Chef Testants. Oh, he took his headphones off. He had to miss it. On Top Chef Wisconsin, now that the season has concluded, Luke reverts back to being, chief cheerleader for all of the many fine programs across the Civic Media Radio Network, much like Max Inc. Radio, whose opening tune we just heard there
a moment ago. Porky's Groove Machine. A little.
Wait,
a little,
what? Sorry, what? What?
That is the name of the artist that the tune was that you played is Porky's Groove Machine. It's a little bit of the Double Dip is the name of the song. And so, yeah, that's one of the excellent local artists here in the Madison area and featured on Max Inc. Radio frequently, I believe. But one of the stalwarts of the local radio scene and the Max Inc. team.
Now that's outstanding.
After the whole like Luke transformed into his civic media hat, I had downloaded. I was like, I was so ready for that I had to force that into here because I've downloaded it and I made it happen. Pat, that was the Transformer theme song. Ask your girls what that's about.
Okay, I'm gonna have to take your word on that one. We have mentioned a couple of times here, Mr. Mathers, there's going to be a debate tonight.
There is. There's going to be a debate. The first, I told Mr. Alba on his show earlier this week, I truly believe this is kind of the starting gun of the 2024 cycle, which sounds weird to folks that have been paying attention consistently since the 2020 elections, 2016 elections. So for news junkies, it's like, how are you telling me that this is the starting gun? But for a lot of Americans, a lot of voters here in Wisconsin and across the country, I'm still pretty certain that it hasn't set in that the two candidates are going to be President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump.
I think that I would hearken back to the conversation last hour with Joe Zepecki, where I brought up the assumption, as somebody who does follow these things regularly, that there are no more hearts and minds to be persuaded. You're either motivating your base or you're trying to demotivate the other guy's base. And Joe, of course, who is, you know, exponentially smarter than me, pointed out the point that you just made, that there are still plenty of people who do not plug into this, who maybe think they lean one way or the other, but who upon actually hearing these guys over the next, you know, 4 months or so, may come to a different conclusion than where they are today. Again, hard for somebody like me to believe, but there's a lot out there. Again, witness the new Marquette poll, 50-50 within the margin of error.
50-50 within the margin of error, and I think there's still a lot of folks that are not in yesterday's Marquette poll, but you see some of these battleground election polls that are coming out where consistently both Trump and Biden are in the about mid to low 40s because there's a lot of undecided voters still out there. And it is a very baffling concept for, I think, news junkies and the people that are plugged in to all of this information and the nonstop news cycle. I think it's important to note that we're the weird ones. We're the weird ones paying attention to this stuff all the time. There are plenty of Wisconsinites just going about their daily lives, and they haven't checked into what the political cycle is yet. And I think tonight's debate is going to be really the start of that for a lot of those voters that aren't paying attention to political news 24/7.
But you do, and in fact, this morning already, you have shared with all the talk show hosts and producers, you've shared background from CNN explaining how the debate is going to work. You've shared an article about why the Presidential Debate Commission is no longer involved. Luke, I'm concerned that there might be somebody more plugged into this presidential election stuff than me, which makes me ask the question, how are you? Are you doing okay?
Volleyball was tough last night. We were down a person.
If that's what keeps you from being overexposed to politics, then
hey,
go for it.
It is absolutely one of those things. Wednesday nights, still very grateful to be able to kind of check out of the political and news world, get myself a little dirty in the sand. There was plenty of diving last night, so I'm feeling it a little bit today, but we were playing with five instead of six.
And
it was a little bit tougher, but we almost eked out the third set, but unfortunately we lost two sets to one.
I don't know how you. Well,
that's one of the things, you know. It's walking the dogs. It's focusing on the other things that are not politics, but then also being extremely tuned into it when I am at work.
There's also available various newsletters and news digests from civic media, from stations and from the newsrooms.
Yeah, and we're very excited to be able to provide those digests in your inbox. So you can subscribe, head over to the Civic Media website. If you are a central Wisconsinite and you'd like to get news on what's going on in Marathon County in the greater Wausau area, you can head over to the Bull Falls Radio .com website. You can subscribe to the newsletter from WXCO. And also, if you're in Wisconsin Rapids, we're getting prepared to start launching a newsletter there as well. So if you head over to Locally Grown Radio's website, you can check out the WFHR and the Wisconsin Rapids news team's updates that will be coming soon.
They're not only getting a newsletter, but they're giving Melissa Kay her own show, Community Conversations.
And it's going to be very exciting. So there's programming changes up there in Wisconsin Rapids. You're going to want to stay tuned. And all the more reason why to go and subscribe to that newsletter so you can get all those updates as they start rolling out.
Well, and for folks who haven't yet checked out the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, you can learn more about the stations. You can learn more about the shows. You can find podcast links. And if you're watching on video and you see that cool hat that Luke is wearing, there's merch as well.
Yeah. So head over to the website. You can support the network by finding a t-shirt or a hat from the Civic Media team. You can also support your local stations as well. There's merch for local Civic Media stations on there as well. So you can buy one of those t-shirts and support the cause and look good doing so.
Tony up in Hayward writes on YouTube, what does Luke think of the Bucks draft? Oh, look, we've run out of time. We'll have to get to that sports talk a little bit later on. But Know that you're on the clock. See how see what I did there with the draft terminology? All right. You be ready for that. Thank you
Sounds
so much.
Good.
Thank you, Mr. Mathers. And Greg Bach will be back for Matt and Air on Air. Sets still start at 10 o'clock these days?
Absolutely.
All right. Be watching for that. And you, of course, can follow Up North News at upnorthnewswi.com and follow us on social media as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Thanks for joining us up north. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow.
93.5 The Tap. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, I'll talk to Omar Flores from the Coalition to March on the RNC about the right to protest at the upcoming Republican convention.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511wi.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511wi.gov. That's 511wi.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.